fear is abstract. Fear is abstract. But why would we have fear if there was not something that we should fear? Why should we have fear if there was nothing, nothing, anywhere, anywhere, ever to be afraid of? And the fact that there is within us things like this refer to the reality. Hope. Hope that is seen is not hope. But hope answers and echoes to something that we long for. And it is the same with faith. Faith. There is such a thing as faith because it answers to something. Because it has to do with something. And it has to do with God who is unseen. Faith makes us able to react with the reality of eternal things. Hebrews 11 begins with the words, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, it's evidence that there are things we can't see, else we wouldn't have faith. There wouldn't be such a thing. Through faith, says Hebrews 11, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So as we turn to Habakkuk, we're turning to the matter of faith, and we are turning to the worst scenario that would exercise faith. The worst scenario. So here we are, and I'll ask you what you would do. I ask myself what I would do, and then we'll consider what Scripture says. The fig tree shall not blossom. Note the two words, although, and then the next verse, yet, they correspond. Although, and yet. So here is the worst possible scenario. The fig tree hasn't blossomed. So it's springtime. And already you've got this sense that there's going to be trouble. The weather has been such, or the insects have been such, the birds have been such, that there is no blossom. Or the bees haven't been about. And you can see that there is going to be trouble. If you're a fig farmer, your livelihood is at stake. But if all it is figs, well, we can live with that. Farmers have to build into the things that they do, the fact that if it's not good potatoes one year, it might be good cauliflowers. But the fig tree not blossoming gives an early indication of wrong things. So that when young lives don't blossom, we have so many teenagers that begin so well, then fall out of school, fall out of university. When life doesn't blossom, it's an early warning of disaster. But as I say, this is the worst scenario. Neither shall fruit be in the vines. A stage further along, the vines are growing clusters. They're perhaps the most prolific of fruits. Not only do they grow in clusters, but vines spread all over the place. One vine tree will give you hundreds, even thousands of grapes. And of course, it's used for making drink, and it's used for making wine, and you can eat grapes for their own value. But no fruit, quite apart from the fact that there's no livelihood. It takes away the pleasantness, the things that we hold good and dear. And added to the fig tree not blossoming, augurs badly for what lies ahead. And the labor of the olive shall fail. Now, olive trees need a little close attention. They need a little labor on them. They're lovely things, but olives can not only be eaten, they do make ointments, olive ointments, make soap, in fact. But if in addition to these things, as the season develops, all the work you put into planting olives, nurturing them, seeing to them, if all that has failed, then you're getting a bit nearer, one step further, to disaster. And the fields shall yield no meat. The word meat always means food. So the wheat crop, the barley crop, the oats crop, no porridge, no Weetabix, so it's failed. Well, it wouldn't be so bad if it was by itself, but these things are having a reciprocal effect. The fact that it was no figs, no white vine, no things, and now this means that the whole country, perhaps the whole world nowadays, is in trouble. No figs to eat, no wine to drink or grapes to eat, no olives and their oil to cook or whatever, and no corn. It's getting serious. People may be going without a little bit. And the flock shall be cut off from the fold. Do you remember one of the things that happened to Job was that all his sheep died? Now, in addition to wheat, the staple of life, if all the cattle begin to perish, and they will, but just now it's just the flock, the sheep. They've all died of some plague, some disease. But they're cut off from the fold. There aren't any. They've all died. And the cumulative effect of disaster, of possible famine, is looming large. And there is no herd in the stall. You've lost your beef as well as your lamb. They weren't allowed to have pigs. And you see, now there's a terrible situation of famine, of shortage, of going without the pleasant things and the necessary things. And they've all come at one and the same time. This is a worst case scenario. Now, faith, as we were saying to the children, is faith in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ, of committing our lives to him. The faith that we find we have is to be thrown onto him, for he is the good shepherd. And this faith that we have in him has to be exercised sometimes in the most extraordinary situations, in the most dire situations. And here is the worst situation, because there's famine, total famine, And it's going to be extensive because there's no herds, there's going to be no lambs, maybe a while, 2 or 3 years at least, before the situation begins to recover. And there is shortage. Faith. Faith that the Lord knows all about these things. We ask why these things are happening, but we don't go afraid. It's a last, worst case scenario. But it does test faith. You know the psalm that though the mountains fall into the midst of the seas, yet I will not be afraid. So think about these things, you see. We have a saviour, we trust in him, even though there are tsunamis. Even though there is a collapse of society, even though there is a shortage of food the world across, and of course the least able will be the first to suffer. But Habakkuk goes on to say, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. So we have trusted in the Saviour. And the worst case scenario has happened. So are we to be miserable? It's not what he says. I think we would all be worried, wouldn't we? No food. No money. No jobs. No earning. Multiplied across the world. The global market having effect on us and so on, as might be beginning today throughout the world. But is our faith to be miserable? We're told here that faith may grow from faith to joyfulness. And that joyfulness, of course, is not in the things that are happening, not in the things of the world, but in the Lord. In the Lord. Now, this is a worst case scenario. And the worst case scenario means when all things are said and done. And if there comes a time when our lives are stripped of everything but the salvation of the Lord, we're on to a good thing. We're on to a thing that brings great joy. When all is said and done, if we die, if we grow weak, if we grow ill, if we are without food, we do have heaven. You say, well, it's not much use to me here. But it's 1,000 times more valuable than anything here. It is for eternity. It is with God. It is where nothing can ever fail again. It is where all things will be perfect forever and ever. When all things are said and done. And my message really is quite simple this afternoon. Have we so believed in the Lord Jesus Christ that he has forgiven us forever and will take us to be with himself? That when all things are said and done, we're joyful that we're going. It used to be that people used to gather around the deathbed of believers and look for some wonderful thing that they'd say about the Lord blessing them at that moment, and the Christians died peacefully, even if they weren't well. Well, so the worst seen scenario. Faith has not failed. In all the terrible things that are happening, faith has not failed in all the terrible things that are happening within our own bodies, if it be like that. Faith is not failed when we watch others, as Diet does, suffering terribly. And Esther, for whom we've been praying, faith does not fail when everything goes wrong. Faith graduates into joy. All things said and done, there's something better. There's something else. There's the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's forgiveness. And there's heaven. And there's being changed. And there's living forever with all those who've been changed likewise. This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Now, apprenticeship is probably one of the best ways of learning. And the principle of apprenticeship is simply that you're on the job, but you're alongside an expert in that job. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it has to do with metals or whether it has to do with wood or whatever. You are there alongside an expert. And at first you're watching, probably admiring, probably thinking to yourself, I ain't never do that. And then while the teacher is supervising, he lets you put a hand on the control or a hand on whatever machine needs to be used. And he makes sure you're perfectly supervised for it. If it's a chainsaw, for example. And then you get a little bit more experience. And you make a couple of errors. But he's there to put it right instantly, as a driving instructor would do. And so it is that apprenticeship teaches you stage by stage, always with the expert there. And then the day comes. He's not there. You're the one who's the expert now. Not got the experience of all the others, but you're on your own. You're independent. It's the most wonderful thing. It's the most wonderful and effective way of learning. We're being apprenticed in this verse, aren't we? Our faith perhaps wouldn't fail. But would it amount to joy? And perhaps there are lesser things that happen to us in life, where things go wrong, where things are disappointed, where it's an apprenticeship, where we're learning to trust, even when there seems no hope, nothing working together for good. And then the more experience we get, the more we can be trusted, even in the worst case scenarios, and then it can graduate to joy. But we don't begin like that, do we? It's a lot of practice. And my message simply is that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the only thing that can remotely make this possible. And that trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ is this the greatest thing that this world affords. There is no substitute. We wonder when we look at the world how it is that everybody can't see that till we think of what we were like and we didn't see it. And the Bible teaches that no one would see it unless God himself intervened and gave grace to believe to those whom he has chosen. So faith leads to joy. I will joy in the God of my salvation. We will rejoice in Jesus Christ, for all things are his. All resurrection, whether of spirit or of body, is vested in him. He has all power. He is God the Son. We rejoice in the God who saves us, even in the worst case situations. We may rejoice. Because when all things are said and done, we have him. Psalm 23 spoke of one, didn't it? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And the valley of the shadow of death can either mean your own impending death or of a loved member of the family. Yea, because it casts a shadow, you see. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That's faith working both ways, if you like. It's the gospel creating faith in us, and our faith is in him. But it is forged for last worst case scenarios. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or as Habakkuk says, though everything else has failed, belief in the Lord Jesus Christ will hold you steady through that time and into glory. Do trust him. Do believe in him. Trust in him in every situation. Work hard in every situation to get practice at responding in the right way. And when the time comes that it really hands down, believe with all your heart and you will enter into the kingdom of our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.